This is the Preacher Guys podcast with me, Aaron Goins.
And Charlie Patterson.
Charlie Patterson III.
That's right.
Coming to you from Family Worship Center in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. If you want to find us, we're at 1217
Highway 53.
Highway 53 in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And we have services at 10 a.m. on Sunday. And we have Wednesday night Bible study with dinner at 6 p.m. and the study starting at 7 p.m. We're coming to you to bring you the Word of God in our weekly discussion.
What's up, Aaron?
Good evening, Charles.
Good evening. I just wanted to first open up with, we actually recorded another episode before what we're doing right now about baptism, like we posted on Facebook. But we had some technical difficulties. The audio came out very muffled. I'm not sure what happened there. So we didn't want to do it back to back and feel like we were just rehearsing or just memorizing things.
And it was 6 hours long.
Right. So we will come back to that eventually, but just wanted to let everyone know that we didn't just put something out there and become flippant and decided not to do it. We will do it. We just had technical difficulties. So, Aaron's, speaking of those technical difficulties, what are we actually going to talk about now?
We're going to talk about I guess technical difficulties in life and not letting them affect your goal of pursuing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite verses, and actually, you know what? I think I said jokingly, I said, if I was going to get a verse tattooed on my body, it would be this one. Being, I think it is very relevant to every man, woman, well, maybe not a child, but every man and woman in this world, because every one of us, as we all will, have fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
Right. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 12 and I'm going to read through 14. But it's actually 3:13 is my favorite verse. So the little title heading there is Pressing Toward the Goal. Verse 12 says, Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it. This is verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward towards the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. So pressing towards the goal of your prize in Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, we've all heard the saying, you know, I've done too many bad things. I can never be saved.
Right.
Okay. But what about once you're saved? Right. I think a lot of times we do things, we mess up, and we feel like, yeah, like I just messed up throwing my phone onto the floor. You heard that? You heard it go off, and then I threw it on the floor.
It's all good. No one will care.
But I'm going to press forward into this podcast because I think this is something that really means a lot to me. I actually heard this verse for the first time in a, it was a Christian novel. It was a fictional novel, but it was written by a couple of Christians. And the main characters basically receiving, it's an action novel, if that's a way of saying it. But he's receiving wisdom from a much older, kind of crusty old army sergeant. And he talks about this pressing forward because the guy had a lot of stuff going on in his past. I think that is something that's worth talking about, especially for men specifically, because we can understand how they think.
Our whole life is about moving forward and about what that just said, forgetting what's behind you.
Right.
I love what Papa said one time. You know, people who've lived like a very bad life. I mean, we're all sinners at some point, but those who have what they think they have more demons haunting them than the average person, you know, that they've just done things so bad that they feel like they can't get away from it, that sort of thing. He said one day he woke up and he realized he didn't have to worry about those things catching up to him because in Psalms it says that goodness and mercy will follow me.
Right.
Not all that. So we can forget those things. We can leave them behind because his goodness and mercy are going to follow us.
Exactly.
Well, if we're going to talk to men especially, I feel like we all have that one thing in common that we have to always push through, right? And that would, I mean, lust really would be the biggest issue a man has.
Right.
It really is, because God, he wired us, he designed us to be attracted to a woman.
Right.
That's just how he made us. But he also made us to have self-control. So we are to, once we find our better half, our mate, our helpmate, as the Bible called Eve and women in general, we are to only have one. Christ has one bride.
Right.
I know there are examples in the Old Testament, like Solomon being one of them, who had many wives and concubines and all that stuff. However, that doesn't mean that that was necessarily how God designed it, or that he had God's favor, you know, participating in polygamy.
Right.
That's just something Solomon did.
Yeah.
He was very wise, but wisdom comes with mistakes.
Right.
And I think that's huge for pressing forward. Gaining wisdom and knowledge is huge for pressing forward, because we gain these things from God, right? James says that if we want wisdom, we just ask and he'll give it freely.
Right, but don't be double-minded.
Yeah, but you have to be firm in what you believe and what you hear and what you're going to do. But we also have a level of wisdom that comes from making mistakes.
Right.
And then hopefully we can pass that down to our sons or other young men, spiritual sons, people we disciple, and that they don't have to go through the same thing.
Right. And hopefully they don't. Right.
Right.
So then their mistakes, they're not continuing them on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're inevitably going to make mistakes and they pass those on.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way it's generational pressing forward, not looking back.
Yeah.
Right. You know, mm-hmm. my dad taught me not to do X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to do that. That would be looking back.
Right.
And I think one of the things, and this is kind of what I was trying to work out in my head. Sorry for the space out there for a moment.
It's okay.
But one of the things that I think what can happen is if you're pressing towards, right, we refer to Christ as the cornerstone, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the plumb line. He's getting us in alignment with him and his word. And we're always working towards the ultimate goal of being like him.
Right.
So one day we can be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we'll never be perfect until we are up there with him.
Right.
But until that point, you have to press forward. One of the problems I think a lot of people do, and this goes to another verse that was involved with that same storyline
mm-hmm.
in that book, but it goes to 1 Peter. It's in chapter 5, and it's a verse that we all have heard about the devil basically running around seeking for whom he may devour, like a roaring
prowling lion. Prowling around like a roaring lion. Mm-hmm.
But what does it say before this? Is be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That sober-minded, I don't think that necessarily means don't be drunk and high.
Right? No, I think I hit on this not long ago.
You did, and that's what made me think of. And so I think one of the things you can do is you can start looking back. You can, you know, pull a Peter, in Peter, and kind of mm-hmm. start looking at the situation or maybe things that I've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if Peter had just wallowed in his suffering of denying Christ?
Right.
Right.
Well, and he did for a minute.
Yeah.
Right?
But he mm-hmm. eventually, you know, the forgiveness that came from Jesus ultimately, which mm-hmm. is, first of all, shows how much he loves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he took the time to specifically not just say, Peter, I forgive you, but how did he do it? He had him tell him he loves him three times
mm-hmm.
to make up. Just a very awesome personal example.
And it's
of
because
how much he loves.
It's not that Peter never loved him, but his flesh became endangered.
Right.
And he acted out of it.
Yeah.
But God is merciful enough, and Jesus is merciful enough to forgive us because he knows our hearts.
Right.
And he knows we're going to mess up, because it wasn't like blasphemy. You know, he wasn't blaspheming Jesus or anything like
right.
that. He was just trying to self-preserve in a moment of weakness. And Lord knows men have moments of weakness.
Well, let me tell you, you know, and I can't say I would have done any better in his shoes after
right?
watching what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then some lady's like, shut up, lady. Like, be quiet. I don't know this guy. What are you talking about?
right?
I don't think he was like, I do not know this man. He's like, I don't know this guy. What are you talking about?
Right.
You know, I don't know him. You know, I'm not associated with this man
mm-hmm.
that you guys are about to kill, right? I don't want to be on that same boat.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the sober. You look back, and he was probably harping on that. Judas's guilt, You know, that's another example. He did far worse, obviously, necessarily. Like, it was necessary, I guess, in a way. That's kind of what his job was in history. But if you're looking back at kind of what you've done, you're kind of given Satan a foothold in your life, like a little door. When it talks about with Cain, he's like, why are you...
why are you downcast?
Yeah, why are you downcast? And basically, and God says, like, you know, he's sitting outside of your door. He's waiting to come in. And if you don't get past these problems that you have, he's going to find his way in. And for Cain's sake, he did. It said, I think it says sin. I believe it said something about sin is like...
sin is crouching at your door. That you must master
it. Yes, and he didn't. And it mastered him,
right,
and he killed his brother.
Yep.
So that's what happens. That's the sober-mindedness. It's also being sober-minded and being in the Word of God and pressing forward and having a focused look on what you're doing in your life.
Well, it's that verse for God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes.
Sound is the opposite of being intoxicated. Right. Sound and sober could be interchangeable. Because intoxicated mindset, we generally think, like you kind of were saying, alcohol, drugs, that sort of thing. But when your emotions are out of whack, I mean, how many people have made a bad decision because their emotions were so amped up they couldn't think straight?
And talk about a lot of things are described as being intoxicating. Her beauty was intoxicating, right? The power can be intoxicating.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in sin that can be intoxicating.
Yeah. Money.
It warps your perception on everything. People say, you know, you've changed now that you have all this money. Well, why do you think that is? It has been, in a lot of ways, it's become their God. It's become their idol that they put before everything else. And the devil loves that. Right. That's his foothold. That's him crouching at the door. Oh, they won the lottery. Oh, easy money, right? For him, that's easy day all day long. If you're not in the Word of God, if you do not have a sound mind with him, that verse, though, got me through a lot working on that bridge crew. Sean, he gave me that verse. And I used to say it when I was walking across the beams, you know, this big old long beams that are swaying in the wind. And I've got this little tether on there. And there's these little, I can't remember what they're called, but they stick out of the beam because they're to help the concrete bind to the metal. Nelson studs, that's what they're called. They're hard to walk around. They want to trip you every. And so I would say that, Lord, didn't give me a spirit of fear. You know, I would just be quoting it all the way across that beam until I got to the other side. And, you know, honestly, it helped a lot.
I actually will say that when I go to a doctor, because I just really hate needles. I just dread if something comes up and I need to do blood work.
Right.
And actually, now that I've got established here in the Bluff with a doctor, I didn't have to do that this time, but I'm going to be 30 later this year. And so in my next annual checkup, they want to do blood work and just make sure everything's good, because, I mean, it's just part of stewarding our bodies. We have the technology and the ability to look at what's literally going on inside of our bodies.
Right.
So we got to take care of ourselves. But anytime I go, I tell myself that it's just something I haven't got over yet. And maybe just to keep me humble, you know, Paul had that thorn in his side. We don't know what it was for sure, but he had some kind of tormenting spirit harassing him, and he asked God to take it from him, and his response was, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So sometimes things won't be taken away from us that feel like they're hindering us.
Right.
It's because it causes us to rely on him to move forward, to press towards that goal. Because if we don't have him, what are we even pressing towards?
Yeah.
Like, perfection in man.
If we could do it all of ourselves, then we wouldn't actually need to press towards him, like you're saying.
We have to be brought to the end of ourselves. Like Paul said, in my weakness, he's made strong.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
I don't know what my mind, like, I'm so clouded right now. We prayed before this, and I think it's probably just because we changed subjects so abruptly, but this is something that, because obviously we're the preacher guys, there's probably going to be a lot of people listen to us, but we want to gear sometimes because we can't really speak for what women think and feel outside of what the word says for them.
Right.
So it's easier for us to
address men.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you brought up lust, and that's a big one. You know, pressing forward sometimes could literally just mean, you know, putting the horse blinders on if you're having problems, especially with like lust. You know, I've got some outstanding advice from a man I greatly respected. And he was explaining to me about lust and men, very godly man. And he basically was like, if I'm left to my own devices, I'll fail every time.
Yeah.
And so he says what he does, and to a pretty extreme extent, he wouldn't even, if he was traveling, he traveled a lot. If he was traveling and he was seated next to what he considered to be an attractive female,
mm-hmm.
he would move seats. He would find another seat somewhere else.
Right.
He would do whatever he could. He wouldn't engage in conversation. I doubt he was rude. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't even want to strike up conversation because he did not even want to allow that sin crouching, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
to take a foot, to actually get in. Because he was like, I'm a man and I'm a married man and I don't even want to take that chance. And that's something that I've often thought about. You know, people ask, would you ever, would you ever cheat or something like that? Not to me. I'm just saying in general, there's right. like a lot of like, videos on the internet of like couples asking each other, would you ever do this?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer for me is no.
Yeah,
that's right, Mallory. You heard that. You heard it here first, but you know,
and
but
it's same no for Jessica. Yeah, would never do that.
it's not because I'm so strong or so great, but I'm not even going to put myself in a situation mm-hmm. where that could even happen.
Right.
There's just, and you can generally see those situations happening a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is guys, they tiptoe that edge of maybe flirting or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, they're being caught up in a situation that they, and it, I mean, it can happen like that.
Well, it starts as what I've heard called an emotional affair.
Right.
An emotional affair. Yeah. That's the flirting and over-friendliness and stuff. And right. that's why even, especially as Christian men, even in our own churches, like we've talked about this before,
yeah.
right now, our church is 90% women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have no blood relation to any of them.
Right.
And most of them are a little older, you know.
Right.
So it's like, the natural attraction between men and women is not there because of that age difference and everything else. But the few that are closer to my age, you know, I don't go out of my way to give them a hug or anything like that. Just different things that I do personally.
Yeah.
And it's not that I would ever take anything too far, but it's just my own personal conviction.
It's a personal step that you've mm-hmm. taken just to make sure that there's just a level of comfort there. For you.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and for my wife.
Yeah. And so, yeah. exactly. And because you're looking at it through her lens as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would she think? You know, if, and that's one thing. And I had a, and this is another guy. There's this program called Master's Commission.
Mm-hmm.
They're,
yeah.
You've heard of them.
Yep.
So they have one based at Bethel Assembly God in Cape Girardeau. At least they used to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I think his name was John. But he, a big guy, super cool. I can't remember him. He actually helped me prepare before I went to basic training. I was like, I want to be ready. So I was hanging out with him and he was praying with me. And one big thing is you never had, especially in the Master's Commission, they're younger people, right? Teenage,
right. Mm-hmm.
young, low 20s, praying for someone of the opposite gender, right? Alone, especially.
Right.
Because when you're praying with somebody, generally there's an emotional connection there. Like mm-hmm. you're making a spiritual connection, an emotional connection because you're praying together.
Okay.
And now, obviously, if someone came up, like we prayed for that girl the other day when mm-hmm. she came in, we all just gathered around together.
Right. But we were in a group setting.
We had our
lead pastors over us, people in authority over us and could hold us accountable.
Yeah.
So they, and Mimi and Pawpaw, yeah. especially Mimi,
yeah.
she would call us out if yeah. we were inappropriate or
yeah.
anything.
So, but as Christian men, and this is kind of how we can relate it back to the Christian men, and then, and I guess looking back on your faults in your past, and I don't know exactly how that's entirely related, but this is just kind of how these conversations go, mm-hmm. I suppose. It is almost your obligation or your duty not to put yourself in that situation to pray with that person. And if you have someone seeking prayer with you, I don't think it's going to matter unless they're there for, and this goes both ways, male to female, female to male, right?
Right.
We're just speaking to our brothers out there primarily. It's not going to be a problem. Hey, let me grab my wife. She understands exactly what you're going through.
Yep.
Hey, let me grab XYZ female church member to come pray with you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the ladies involved. And, you know, our church does that pretty well.
Yep.
If a girl goes up there, gets on the altar.
Yep. Somebody will say, ladies, will you gather around this person?
Yeah, generally they're coming together. And I think there's an understanding there, an emotional understanding, a mental understanding. They have felt the same way probably.
Yep.
Just like if all the men come together, if there's a man that needs prayer, we'll all, and you know, and but normally we'll all collectively do it together.
Right.
But man, if you're in that kind of situation where you have a female asking for prayer as a man, especially if you think, hey, she's attractive, even if it's semi, right? It's 100%. Go get your spouse, right? Or get her connected with other ladies in the church.
Yeah.
And we're blessed because we have a bunch of women in the church. So basically, we don't even have to worry about that most of the time.
Right. We can refer them to one of 20 people.
Yeah, they're attacking them immediately as soon as they come to the door in a good way. And I mean, I guess, you know what? And this is pressing forward. This is a pressing forward kind of subject. This is one of those things that's going to help keep you from getting caught in some sort of mess and having one of those things like, and you know what? If you've ever prayed for somebody, and there may be people that completely disagree. Well, I've prayed for such and such female 100,000 times.
Well, and the most important thing is to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because He may tell you to pray for that woman, and you don't have your wife around, or a sister, or, you know, a daughter or whatever with you. But if the Holy Spirit tells you, it's going to be okay.
Right.
I mean, it's just plain and simple.
Yeah. Well, my grandpa had that story of homeless woman that he was crossing the street at the courthouse, and she, I don't know if she walked up and asked, and she said she looked horrible. She was just hair matted, just dirty, smelly, all these things. And I think, and this is not really completely related, but it's the point is that he interacted with this person because he felt led by the Holy Spirit to do so.
Right.
I think gave her a little bit of the money that he had, which at the time wasn't much. And, but the Lord basically was like, this is my child that you're seeing. And you may have that kind of moment. You know, that was in public and everything. And I mean more like in the intimate setting of, you know, you're at church praying and then XYZ opposite gender shows up to pray. You know what?
Right.
Hey, babe, come down here. Kind of call her real quick and come help.
Well, it's like at work over the past month, and it's weird, the department I'm in, used to be almost all men, except for this one specific job.
Yeah.
Now it's almost like flip-flopped. And so there's less men. And I think that's going on in a lot of workplaces, not just mine. Men are just not just the church, they're abandoning everything.
Yeah.
The
men need to step up.
Yeah. I mean, I know what's happening. Like, society has told the man he's worth nothing now, but at the same time.
Or he can be a woman.
Right. But at the same time, Christian or not, it's in us to like be leaders.
Right.
Because God made us that way. Whether we believe in Him or not, He made us that way. He made us to be leaders. He made us to be more than conquerors, especially in Christ Jesus.
Evil men who have those natural talents of leadership will have people follow them and do awful things.
Right.
I mean, look throughout all of history. It's
Hitler, Stalin, a bunch of other people.
Mussolini.
Yeah. All the different Roman emperors. You know, just tons of evil men, but God created them to be leaders. They just used it the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I've had the opportunity to pray with people at work. Two for sure, where we just stopped what we were doing right there. But for any men listening, or women, if a man asks you to pray, what I did was, well, first I was like, you just want to pray right now? Because I felt like we should do it now. A lot of times they're like, yeah, I'll pray for you. And I do, but some situations require you to do it then.
Right.
And usually you'll know by the Holy Spirit. But what I did is I did not put a hand on either woman. I just said, I'm going to take out my earplugs. I'm going to just lean towards you just a little bit so you can hear me because it's a loud environment.
Right.
I said, I'm not going to put a hand on you, though. And I just start praying, and then we're done.
Yeah.
And actually, I have prayed for three ladies at work now that I think about it. No men yet. No men has asked me.
Yeah.
But that's what you can do if you're away from your wife or mom or whoever. You just say, okay, I'll pray for you, but there's no physical contact there. Yeah. I know we're used to laying hands on people as Christians, but as a man especially, you have to hold yourself accountable, and even if you don't mean anything by
it. And some people may listen to this and be like, you guys are absolutely ridiculous. That's way over the top.
Men have gone down from that.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, we're talking about the preacher guys.
Mm-hmm.
How many other preacher guys have completely ruined their, I don't say career exactly, but their placement in a church body because of something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And it could start out innocently enough, but there is a bond with praying together. That mm-hmm. I think it is a thing, and I think that's why husbands and wives should pray together. My goodness. I mean, you want to talk about ramping up your relationship status, so mm-hmm. to speak? Like, pray with your wife. Mm-hmm. I remember one morning, I was having a bad morning, and then I remember thinking like, oh, I'm going to choose to do right. I'm going to choose to be a man of God for my wife today.
Mm-hmm.
But I walked up to Mallory, and I grabbed her, I hugged her, and I didn't ask her if she wanted to pray. I just started praying.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she fell right in line. She's a big prayer. She loves prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But we all love prayer, but you know what I mean. She's mm-hmm. always praying. And my whole day was just like I had 50 cups of coffee. My whole day was great. And there's a closeness. There's an intimacy there,
mm-hmm.
which is what I think our point is. Right. That if you're, you know, just to pray with somebody, hey, you know, my son fell on a bicycle and has a concussion. Can you pray? Can you pray? Hey, let's pray real quick together.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. But hey, I'm having these issues in my home life. Hey, I'm having XYZ happen. Can we meet up and pray later on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll bring my wife and, you know, maybe bring your significant other if it's safe to do so, right? We'll, mm-hmm. we'll all get together and counsel and pray together. But there's just ways to go about it.
Go ahead.
No, that was pretty much it.
All right. You know, we said we were talking about pressing forward, pressing towards the mark, the goal.
Which is perfection. Yeah.
Yeah, in Christ. And it really what this has turned into, we're kind of extending off of last week. You know, we titled it All About Prayer.
It is.
And we're still talking about prayer.
Yeah.
Not even on purpose.
Yeah.
Because of how important it is. But this is how we push through.
Yeah.
Is by prayer.
Is by prayer.
How we reach the mark, is by prayer. Because when you communicate with your father, he's going to communicate back, like we said, and he's going to tell you or empower you to push through, because we can't do it on our own.
Well, you have to pray for righteousness, right? You have to, in order to be effective in your prayer, you have to be righteous.
Put your faith in him first, right. Yeah.
Well, the footsteps of the righteous, ordered of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's your path, there's our connection, right?
Right.
Our big aha moment. Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, well, and I feel like we could talk about anything and everything, but I feel like prayer is always going to be, maybe it's the wrong word, but like lurking behind the scenes.
Right.
It's just going to be there, because prayer and being a follower of Jesus are inseparable.
Right.
And I know me personally, and maybe you have been here, and I know other men have. Sometimes I just feel like I can't lead my family in prayer, or my wife, or even in the church sometimes. And I've gotten a lot better, but I know I'm lacking still a lot in some areas.
How'd you get better?
I just had to do it. And that's the only way you can. It's like going into the weight room. You know, the only way to get stronger is to do it, to the point where you feel like you can't anymore. And then you just get back in there and you do it again. You know, if prayer is like working out, the Word of God is like the protein shake that we take to recover.
To recover.
You know, not that prayer necessarily like wears us out, but people get to the point where they feel like I've got nothing left to pray. And all they can do is maybe just sit in silence or lay on their face or cry or just listen to worship, and they just get to that point and they just wait for God to respond.
Yeah. Well, that's his voice. I love so much about the, you know, it hurts my heart sometimes when we have 15, 20 things to pray about on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was talking, Mal said, you know, that's just because there's, you know, people or things that they normally wouldn't have brought up. Well, we're seeing things happen.
Right. So, becoming more confident in the God we serve.
Yeah. Yeah. Those prayer requests are becoming the praise reports that we hear. We do pray. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, we do praise reports first and then we do prayer requests, because I think it's important to always give praise to God for the good things he's done before we ask him to do more, right?
Well, so I want to interject real quick. I do have a praise report about one of the ladies I pray for at work, the most recent one.
Yes.
That I asked, that we prayed for on Wednesday night. She's doing much better. They had a space, or a spot, I should say, outlined on her knee. Like, they took a marker and had put that on there, and that's where they were going to do some stuff. And just the other day, she come up to me. She's like, "Hey, Charlie, you know, since we prayed and I went to the doctor," she said, this area on my leg, it's doing a whole lot better. Whole lot better. Really? Like, the sores and stuff are leaving her body. So I was like, awesome. Like, that's really awesome. Yes. And then it led into a conversation where she told me about a time she's seen angels, which was really cool, and it was confirming. I've never seen one, but I've heard at least two or three other people tell me about an experience where they've actually seen them, one of them being Randy Salamone, and I know he won't mind me putting his name out there. And it was, she described them the same way he did.
Right.
And it's almost always the same when I hear this.
Yeah.
They're huge.
Yeah.
They're tall. They're big.
Yeah.
And sometimes people say they have wings. Sometimes they don't say anything about it, but generally they do. And what's crazy is my little niece, Isabella, just saw one last night, actually, at Crusade Center. She was a little freaked out at first because she's only, how old is she? Like 4?
To be fair, I'd be freaked out.
Yeah. And if you look in the Bible, every person who's seen an angel, most of the time, they said, "Don't be afraid."
Yeah.
So this, like, it's perfectly scriptural.
Too late, buddy. Right? I'm always afraid.
Yeah. Well, she saw one. And she's old enough now that she can talk to at least describe some things. And she said it was tall and white and had eyes. And so the other girl that was kind of babysitting her in the back got my sister out and was like, "Hey, she's freaking me out."
Yeah.
She said she's seeing something, described it. And I guess they had some more descriptions there. That matched an angel, because I believe she said she had like feathered wings type of things. And I was like, well, that's really cool. And they explained to her what it was and that she didn't have to be afraid, and that how to recognize when it would be like one of Satan's angels, you know, or demon. But it wasn't a real angel from that serves God. And I was like, that's cool. So that's kind of a side note there from that praise report. But
well, I'm glad you shared the praise report.
Yeah.
And this is why, you know, I don't want to artificially try to like bring it to subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what happens when you keep pressing forward. And I think our church, we as a body in this church have been through a lot, but we keep on keeping on, whether there would be 100 people here or there's 3 people here.
Yeah. Our pastors have, you know, way before I came around, have literally preached to themselves.
Yeah.
No one in the congregation but the pastor and his wife, and he preached to her
because
as if it was full.
Told him to give the message, and he did.
Yeah.
And talk about, you know, and
pushing forward.
Exactly. And well, that's an example that, you know, I always use my grandparents, but as a man, my grandfather specifically, both of them are just, and they're, you know what, and they're one. And that's the thing. They make such an awesome team.
Mm-hmm.
I think any couple would want to emulate what they've got, right? Because because they're seeking God first, right? Their relationship is always pointed towards God. But what they've been through with heart failure, with blindness, with, you know, back trouble, with all these things that they've all been through, they just keep on going forward. They've almost lost their children multiple times, you know, mm-hmm. grandchildren. They just keep on pressing forward, and they just keep on trusting in God. They, you know, I think my grandpa basically said when my aunt was in the hospital, like, you know, God, if it's your will, if you want her, I know she'll be, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's yours, but please heal her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told the doctor, she's going to be just fine. He looked at him like he was crazy, but guess what? She was just fine.
Because he was speaking what his father told him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she was just fine. She wrote a book. Mm-hmm. She's now a nurse, right? Yeah. So, I mean, like, a massive stroke, almost died. Mm-hmm. She was very low odds of survival for the surgery they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And got, or, you know, my grandpa just prayed and prayed and prayed and finally went off by himself and was like, if you want her, kind of thing, like, she's yours,
mm-hmm.
but your will, but please. You know, it kind of makes me think of Jesus in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it be possible for this cup to be passed, but ultimately I want your will to be done.
Right.
Because you're my father, and mm-hmm. he only does what the father wants him to do. This is, I didn't realize how broad of a subject this was going to be. You know, I thought it was very specific.
Mm-hmm.
But there is so many different ways of pressing forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost inspiring,
like, yeah.
me now, just mm-hmm. in my own life. Just to keep on pushing and just leaning on him. I can't remember if it was you that brought it up or if it was me that brought it up, talking about, you know, you talk about the plow.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was, I can't remember, but he was like plowing the way in front of you, basically. I can't remember the exact context, but he's always made a way
mm-hmm.
and he always will make a way. And sometimes that pressing forward is hard and difficult,
mm-hmm.
but he'll always meet you as long as you do your best. Just like he meets you at the altar, or he meets you at the pulpit when you pray, or meets me at the altar or the pulpit when I pray.
Mm-hmm.
He'll always meet you, and where you start to fall short, that's where you cast your burdens on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I don't know, it's inspiring.
Well, I find, just to kind of be vulnerable here, I guess, I find the place I struggle most to press forward is in my workplace. And I mean, if you know me, you know where I work, and I'll just leave it there. I won't put their name out. But there are just so many things I disagree with that happen. Both people in the same level of authority as me, and those right above me, and those a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see the way some of the people in authority treat people not in authority. Behind their backs,
mm-hmm.
say things, do things. You know, we had someone in authority basically preach on integrity in a team lead meeting, but then the same person won't utilize certain people because of a personal grudge.
Right.
And we're supposed to help the whole factory get done as a team, but they draw lines in certain places where it's right. like, no, because I'm offended. And so I struggle to even want to continue moving forward in that company because of those things, because unless something happens, they'll be in charge when, you know, I'm 40.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't know how much of that I can endure because I so badly want to get out for those reasons. But at the same time, for God to raise up men and women to get into those positions, you have to stay there and endure it until yeah. his time for you comes.
Yeah.
And that's just part of it.
Yeah. You have to be, and you, I guess you can only find your encouragement in the Lord, but it's not saying we're not going to have trials, right? He promised us we would
mm-hmm.
have problems. No, I completely understand. And that's in every workplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like we're kind of starting from a, not a negative point, but an outnumbered point.
Yeah.
There's kind of the old joke is like, you say outnumbered, I say target rich environment.
Right. Yeah.
There's just a lot more opportunity out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a similar boat. You know, the guys that I work with are all great guys.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy talking with them. And I try to just, you know, and I don't always do good. Sometimes I fall short.
Mm-hmm.
But
Yeah, me too.
You know, for the first time, I had one come ask me to pray with me the other day, just like you've had people come ask to pray with you,
mm-hmm.
which means it's not going unnoticed,
right?
That you are pressing. And they see, despite what's happening, that you're still advancing. Like, you're sticking it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they see the same injustice that you do, right? Everybody does, I'm sure, to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to ultimately look to you. And I think that's where the leadership comes in. You may not be a leader in, I know you are, but like at the whatever the next level is, like your boss,
mm-hmm.
but people are going to see you as more of a leader, right? They're a leader in position and position only, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But a lot of the times, if you go like through chain of command,
right.
the buck can stop with you unless it's just something you cannot, you know, literally do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's kind of, I understand like in politics and things like that, or maybe ownership of a business or a company. But sometimes I think leadership can mean more than just employment leadership mm-hmm. and spiritual leadership. Whereas, yeah, the work boss is one thing, but we serve like the boss, right? We mm-hmm. serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if they come to you with prayer, which one's more important,
right?
They didn't go to this other guy with their problem.
Mm-hmm.
They came to you. So I think sometimes the leadership, we still have to be in a servant position.
Yeah, right? Well, that's the model Jesus gave, was right. the servant leader right. position. And there's actually a great book on that by Dr. Miles Monroe. Mm-hmm. I really need to finish it. I've read a few chapters. It's called The Spirit of Leadership. And, I mean, he goes into all sorts of that stuff.
Right.
And not to necessarily get off track, but one of my favorite parts so far, right in the beginning, tells a story about going to this remote village in Africa or something, and the guy is telling him a story, right? One of the natives. And he said that there was this lion that was abandoned as a cub, and the farmer found him, so he raised him among his sheep. And so he always thought he was a sheep growing up. And then one day he went down to a watering hole, went to get a drink, and he saw something he never saw, and he got scared. He ran away. And he went back, and he saw it again. But this time he didn't run. He was kind of curious. And then he heard a noise, a loud noise. It was another lion roaring. And he seen it on the other side of the watering hole. And when he looked back down in the watering hole, he realized he was a lion.
Right.
He didn't know who he was. And then at that point, he left the sheep and followed the other lion to be a lion.
Right.
And that's what leadership is. Like, for men especially, realizing we're not sheep. We had a sheep. We had a lamb come and save us. You know, we talked about that last week. He's the only lamb still living.
Right.
But he's not just a lamb. He's also the lion, right. the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came as the lamb the first time to save us. But you bet when he comes back,
he's coming back
as the lion.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and we can't do Jesus' job as the lion, you know, but we are to be lions in our own right.
Right.
That's what they called us when we did that men's conference I was talking about that Dee put on. Mm-hmm. Me, you, and Corey, they called us young lions because we're up and coming. We're stepping up. We're being leaders, not just in our jobs, but in our homes and in our churches. Lions, they're ferocious. They're big. They're scary.
Right.
And somebody once told me that it's not about how loud the lion is when he roars, but it's the frequency of his roar.
Right.
Like the tone. It's deep.
The depth. Yeah.
Yeah, it's deep. It's depth. And when you hear it, you know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that was a little side note, but
well, no, I mean, I think people can get caught. That's not entirely a side note, because I think people can get caught up in what they think they are.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember her name, but a long time ago, this lady gave a, and this does relate to pushing forward,
because
mm-hmm. you have to know who you are
yeah.
in Christ and who you serve and who you represent.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think when you take hold of that,
mm-hmm.
I think when you take hold of that, it inspires you a little bit,
yeah.
right? You get that second wind.
Well, leaders move forward.
Yes.
Leaders move forward. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing that they taught us. And if you look at any type of generally in any type of combat scenario, right? Obviously, never been in combat, but if you look at history, generally it's the aggressor that is winning. Normally, mm-hmm. if you know, you watch 100 videos of cops getting in gunfights, it's whoever is pressing forward mm-hmm. is going to be the winner. Normally, it's just the way it is because mm-hmm. you're taking ground, you're advancing, and what you've done is you've put the enemy back on their heels, yeah. and now they're trying to react to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's the same thing. So, and that's why you can expect some pushback, right?
Mm-hmm. Because well, moving forward, pressing forward, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but going forward and pressing forward like that, like going heavy offense, you leave yourself vulnerable, and that's the risk people don't want to take.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, if I do this, what if this happens? Yeah. Well, the good thing about being a Christian is that we have a God who says he will be our shield and our buckler, right? Yeah. Which the shield is for the war times, and the buckler is for your everyday life. They would right. carry it with them. So we don't have to worry about those things. And if something does happen, he'll get us through it.
Yeah.
He's still got to push forward.
And that's, you know, I joke about, you know, sometimes I feel like I really mess up when we're preaching or something. And mm-hmm. then I was like, as long as I know if I stay in the Word of God, I can't really misspeak.
Right. right?
As mm-hmm. long as I'm coming from the Word of God, I'll be just fine.
Right. Yeah.
So, you don't have to worry about anything as long as you're staying in the Word of God, as mm-hmm. long as you're in the will of God. You might think you've done something bad, but there's been times I've given a message and I was like, I told Mal, I said, man, that was rough just for me to get through. Yeah, and then someone would be like, I remember, man, that message you gave last week. I'm like, what are you talking about? You mean where I fumbled for 30 minutes?
And right.
Couldn't find any scriptures, couldn't remember anything. I've done that twice on this podcast already. Mm-hmm. I've just completely lost my train of thought. If you know me, you understand I'm a little scatterbrained sometimes, but I, you know, I'm passionate about this, and I think this is something like this podcast or in preaching in Christianity, it's for the people. It's worth exposing yourself. It's mm-hmm. worth moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are out there praising their God all day long. They don't mind exposing themselves, talking right. about whatever XYZ secular thing they want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I be ashamed with the creator of the universe having my back? Why should I fear being exposed when I have him as my shield and my buckler?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I shouldn't be. Right? This is, we talked about the armor of God last Thursday with the kids. I'm armored up. We're mm-hmm. armored up.
Yeah.
And I'm fired up. I feel good. You know, like I've been in this funk yeah. for the past month, a little over a month now, and it's been very weird to get through. There's a whole list of things I'm not even going to get into. But at times, you know, I'm just like completely zoned out, just staring at the wall for like 15 minutes. And I'm not, you know, in my head, just thoughts running.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just very tired and just anxious or kind of a depressive feeling where I'm just low and I just don't mm-hmm. care about anything. And then, but, you know, I was that way Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But the second I pray, and I feel like I've stepped into my calling
mm-hmm.
and what I'm supposed to be doing in that time, what I've been assigned to do by God, it's like it's gone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happens. You have to get through these funky times, and there's going to be these almost like an oasis.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to lead you and then leave you. It's something else that says in Peter, where it says, after you've suffered for a while, then mm-hmm. God's grace will come on you, and you'll be just fine. You'll be okay. He's there to support you and help you. There's got to be some, like you said, you don't go to the gym, and you know, you go in there and you just mess around with weights that aren't heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't run fast enough. You don't put enough effort in. You're not going to get anything out. What you're doing, you're just spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
You're really wasting time and money is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you go in there and you really break down the muscle. And you back that up with a good diet mm-hmm. of the word,
yep.
right? You're going to grow. And people would be surprised. The most important thing is consistency.
Yep.
If you're consistent with that, and obviously not talking about the gym anymore, you're consistent with your prayer and being in the word,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to grow and you're going to take off. And then yep. suddenly those weights or those problems that used to be so big to you, they're not that big anymore.
No.
Right. But you're always progressing. You know, they call it progressive overload. You want to make sure you get the maximum amount of effort mm-hmm. you can to help support some of that extra growth.
Yeah. And they got that term progressive Christianity. Well, this is the only kind of progressive Christianity that's acceptable, because that other's leftist.
Well, you were talking about picking and choosing things earlier. I said that's how people are with the word these days. You know, it's like, oh, well,
cherry picking.
Yeah, this isn't the PC, so we're going to completely leave out everything Jesus said right here, or Paul said, or XYZ said. And yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah. Well, before we close out here, I actually want to share a dream. And I shared this at that conference I keep mentioning, because we were talking about being focused and pressing onward and everything. And maybe this will mean something to someone else besides me. I had a dream that I was playing in the NFL for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I was the running back, which is typical. That's what I played in high school.
Right.
And so, you know, God knows how to speak to us,
right?
You know, things that are relatable to us. And it's fourth down, fourth quarter, I think even 4 seconds on the clock. So there's like the 4-4-4 thing that I've talked about with some people. That means stuff, you know.
Right.
You don't want to get crazy with numbers, but God speaks through numbers.
Something like that, it's pretty obvious.
Right, yep. Yeah. And so I remember being in the huddle. And of course, Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback, just like in real life. And we're in the huddle, and he tells us the play, but I don't audibly hear it. And so huddle breaks, everyone goes to the line, and I grab him, and I go, hey, what are we doing again? And he says it again, but still, I don't audibly hear what the play is. And what does a running back do? I mean, they run with the ball, right?
Right.
Generally, that's what they do most of the time.
Yeah.
But in this play, you know, somehow I knew, I guess by the spirit is the point of that, even though I couldn't audibly hear it. He didn't hand off the ball to me. I went for a pass instead, went to catch the ball, and he threw it to me, you know, got the touchdown with guys tackling me.
Yeah.
You know, we win the game, and I'm crying, and I'm going, this is all I ever wanted.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying. And it goes right in line, which actually I left out a couple of details. You know, after I caught the ball, I went one way. Realized you couldn't go that way. Big linemen there,
right,
or big defenders, couldn't get past them. I kind of played in the dream like I do in real life. I'm a shifty kind of guy, not a big guy, not a power runner.
That's right. I tried to hear first. Try Patterson III is shifty.
Shifty. That's right. I had to run around people, try to juke them, or dancing, they call it sometimes. But anyway, and I went another direction, and I couldn't go that way either. And I realized the only way I could go was straight up the middle. After I caught the ball, even though there were still guys there, there was just a little bit of an opening that it was the only place was up the middle, you know, like the narrow path,
right?
You know, the straight and narrow. And that's what it was. And there were guys piling on top of me once I went up the middle.
Yeah.
But I made it.
Yeah. And that narrow path, what's crazy is around you, if you've ever seen, like, I think a lot of people think, oh, look at that hole, I could have run through there. No, you don't understand the adversity that's taking place on both sides of you.
Mm-hmm.
And people are, they're going to see you, and they think they can just get a finger on you to trip you up. You know, shoelace tackle,
they'll
right?
pull you off that path or out of that hole, talking about football. Yeah, and it really is narrow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in the natural, if a good play happens, it'll open, you know, just be wide open, and it'll be good. But most of the time, it's not that way.
Right.
It is narrow, but I made it, and the goal, you know, which would be Jesus, which would be perfection in him. And I knew exactly what this dream was talking about. And if you go even deeper, you know, the Chiefs being apostolic, you know, Jesus was the chief apostle. Patrick Mahomes would be a metaphor of Jesus in this case, or the Holy Spirit, which is kind
of
weird.
You made a lot of Chiefs fans really happy.
Yeah, I bet I did. Anyone back home that listened to that, they know I'm not a big Chiefs fan. But there I said it, but it was a metaphor, metaphor only.
Yeah.
But anyways, it just was a good reminder, and I need to remember that when I'm struggling, that I was able to push forward, to go through that. And it wasn't my own doing, you know, my captain, my chief apostle was there. He told me what to do.
Yeah.
And I saw the narrow way.
Yeah.
And what else? Had a team.
Yeah.
There was a team helping me. That's other believers. We do this together. We don't do it alone.
Right.
We said that last week. We can't do it alone. No.
And what, you know, what's really crazy is, and you being, or having a history of being a running back.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we used to play NFL Street. Me and this kid I knew on whatever system it was on at the time. PlayStation probably, but he was always the quarterback and I was always the running back.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be so frustrated. It's like, ah, man, you know, I'm only getting 3 yards. And he, very knowledgeable football guy, is like, no, 3 yards a carry. That's right. A touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, potentially in three carries.
Four down.
Yeah.
It's either first down or turn it over.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes the path opens up right like that. Mm-hmm. They talk about, we'll take it back into pressing forward like you did in that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes your path may not look like, you know, yeah, I got it in one shot. Right. Sometimes we have to hit these multiple downs where we're getting taken down, but we get back up. I only got 2 yards. Hey, next time you might get 4 yards. Next mm-hmm. time you might get 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to keep pressing towards that goal of, in this, the metaphor of the touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. Or yeah. perfection and being like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. That is pretty fantastic. So,
well, I'll close this out in prayer. So, Father, we just we come to you. We thank you that through Jesus we are more than conquerors, as your word says. Without your Son, we could not overcome anything on our own right. Maybe we'll have small amounts of success or what we think is success, but ultimately, if we don't have you, we are not successful. We are not leaders. We are not conquerors. We have to have Jesus. We have to have a relationship with him. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to be reconciled to the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of us. You know, Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and all there within. We are yours. We cannot be separated from you unless we choose to be. So, Father, not just men, but women also, Lord, just help us all to be leaders in our homes, in our churches, in our jobs. It's a dark world out there, and we have to be the light, because you are the light, and if you are within us, then we are a light bearer. So, Father, just continue to help us as we go throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Very good.
If you guys want to continue to support us in our podcast, you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and we also have an email, thepreacherguys@gmail.com. The YouTube handle is @thepreacherguysfwc. Send us a prayer request, subjects for our discussions, just anything if you just want to contact us. Also, if you don't know, I've written 2 books, The Gardens of God and The Spirit of Fire. Give those a look at Amazon.com, search them by the titles, or my name, Charles Patterson III.